Hello and welcome to The Bagel Bite with me, Hayden Cohen. This episode is with Alfie Ferguson, who is not an advocate or a worker for an LGBT plus charity, but instead is just one person telling one story, providing a perspective I certainly had not heard. Before I hit play on it, a couple of things. This conversation is friendly, but also raw. I could have quite easily edited out any awkwardness, but this whole thing is about leaning into the awkwardness and pushing past it. This bite is also not completely LGBT plus focused in content and is the last in our LGBT plus series, for the moment anyway. Just one last thing. This was recorded at Limud Festival prior to my interview with Dahlia Fleming of Keshet, in case you're wondering about the chronology of the whole thing. The next episode will be fully fledged and have lots of vegan content, but we'll try not to be too hippie. Enjoy, bagelers.
Thank you for joining me. I was told that you had an interesting story to tell, and at The Bagel we're kind of interested in hearing interesting stories.
I mean, thanks for letting me come on, Hayden. We've met for 5 minutes ago, really, and you said you wanted to hear interesting stories. I think it's just another story within the Jewish community.
Okay.
I don't think this is interesting. It just adds to the flavour that we already have in our community, really.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. So how has your journey led you to this point?
Again, very personal. As a black Jew, now I was very, very aware of my family's background. And my family's background is that my mother and my father are both from the West Indies. And we have very English, British sounding names. Our family are Christians. My family's background is Christians, Catholics. And before even having a lot of knowledge of that, you grow up and, you know, you have an affiliation, you have a feeling for something, you trust your instincts. And obviously you have your first Holy Communion, confession, and then you're supposed to become confirmed within the Catholic faith, which I think was at 13, something like 12 or 13. And it wasn't for me. I realised very early on, didn't believe in the Catholic faith. I wasn't interested. And I firmly said no.
Out of interest, was that to everything? Did you reject all of it? Or did you say, there's these things that I don't particularly like and I need to find another way?
As a young adult, you know as well as I do, you go where your parents tell you to do. They give you the path that they have been given and they think is the right thing for you.
Right, for sure.
And as you get older, you come up with your own ideas. And I went to church religiously. We went every Sunday. We had Sunday school. You obviously had lessons leading up to your confirmation, and it didn't make any sense to me. I didn't feel it. I feel that you're supposed to feel something when you come out of somewhere that's supposed to be religious. You're supposed to feel something, whether it's anger or disappointment, whatever. And it just didn't do anything for me. So
it's actually really interesting. Yeah. I've had this conversation with rabbis over the years myself, right? And there's a kind of Jewish concept where they say, which is, don't think, do. And it's this weird thing where they say, you know, just do the stuff. Mm. And then the thinking part of it will come later. Interesting.
I mean, I'm sure that's very true for you, but it's not true for me. Yeah, I did what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in doing things that don't do anything for me. And if I don't believe it's the right path for me, I will just jump off the boat and find the nearest other little life raft that'll take me somewhere else that I want to go. So you're speaking your truth, and I'm speaking mine.
Exactly.
It's the only way I can describe it, mate. It's the only way I can describe it.
Okay, so that happened. So you went, you know, Catholicism, not for you.
No.
Then what?
Absolutely nothing. Because I was at school, you're doing your thing, you're growing up you're growing up. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. What did happen was I started spending a lot more time researching black history, particularly to do with slavery, particularly to do with the West Indies and the island that my parents come from, which is Grenada. And I suppose this is where the flip starts coming in. Assimilation is a big word in the Jewish community, and it's a big word for me. My family and my ancestors, who I do respect, because if they hadn't done what they needed to do, my mum and dad, my grandparents, my extended family, myself, we would not be here. But let's be frank, we all know what happened. You assimilate to what your overbearers do. You talk the language that they do to make sure they see you more as a human rather than an animal and a beast of burden. You take on their religion, again, to show you're more human, and you're taking on their values, even though they still think you're an animal. And assimilation, from what I can tell, from my perspective, I'm sure my mum and dad may disagree because they are children of the empire. We do have discussions. We don't all see eye to eye. But for me, the reason why my family's Catholic, the reason why we speak English, the reason why we all have British surnames is because of slavery. And I will not have that. I make my choice about my religion. I make my choice about who I pray to, if I pray to, what is going to be coming into my realm. And for me, I mean, I haven't taken up an African name, don't get me wrong. And maybe that's something that might happen in the future. But to take on the religion of the Yoruba bearers and to continue it. And the only reason why generations of my family are Catholic is because if they didn't assimilate, they would not have survived. It's that simple. Slaves did not survive unless you took some of the identity of your overbearers. That's very much how I look at it. I'm going to be frank. My mum and dad wouldn't kind of agree because they come, you know, from a different era, different priorities. Survival is much bigger of a thing for them than it was for me. You know, my dad did live in a wooden shack, basically. He's done very well for where he is. So you're not going to be upset about how you got better in life. But for me, as a someone who's born in Britain, don't get me wrong, I'm in the land of where all that money got taken to. And I do feel like I should have a right to that. But it just wasn't for me. And I decided I wanted a different path.
Why Judaism?
Why Judaism? There's extra things. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I am fully aware I'm going to get some comments, which is you're reacting to your last religion. But Catholicism, Christianity as a whole, I'm very confused by having a Jesus Christ that looks blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and look like he came out of Sweden. I don't understand it. If you add to the slave narrative, you break a people, you break their culture, you break their language, you break their traditions, and you insert Christianity. You put the image of a God who looks like your overbearers. It helps with the mind washing, in my opinion. Again, my mum and dad would disagree with that. But
how do you have those conversations? You know,
I had those conversations with my father. I can't have them with my mother.
Right.
And she's never going to hear this podcast, which is why we can talk so frankly about this. So, but my father could handle it. He could see where I was coming from. My mother, you know, we all know women are the bearers of passing on culture between in families, especially in Jewish families, especially in Greek families, most ethnic minority families. It's women that pass on the culture. So she's not happy. She's not going to kick me out of the house if I turn up. She would prefer I was a Catholic.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
So does your family, can they separate or do they separate out the culture from the religion? Or is it now merged for them?
I think, you know, I'm in a different age to them.
Right.
Though my parents, I believe, had a better education than me because of the kind of teachers they had. You've got to remember, you're in the West Indies. British people couldn't wait to go to the West Indies on a journey. So some of the best teachers, the best minds, went all over the empire to teach the savages. I'm going to just put it like that.
I'd actually like to clarify for the listeners, there was air quotes with savages.
Yeah, I do not believe my race is a savage. I'm just trying to be a little bit provocative. I think Hayden knows where I'm coming from. When they say the sun never set on the empire, that's exactly what happened. All those people who lived in the empire, who were technically slaves, who then went on to be participants in the Commonwealth, they are taught to think as a Brit. You're taught to take the religion of those people. You are taught, and you know those things are very hard to break.
Right.
Very hard to break. I mean, I don't need to spell it out. You know, you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm sure your
listeners
will understand as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You still answer my question, though, is that, you know, that there's lots of religions out there, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So
the image of God. The image of God in Christianity is a blonde-haired, blue-eyed man. I am not doing that. And what's the big thing about Judaism? Where's your image of God? Where's the image of God? There is no image. The image of God is us.
But there isn't in Islam either.
I've never researched Islam, to be honest.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah,
never. I mean, maybe there's something in the back of the head that says Judaism before Christianity. Maybe that's, you know, you can't undo everything in your head. Maybe that's a possibility.
Right.
I never bothered looking at Islam at all.
There's no depictions of God in Islam either.
You might well be right, but I don't know about it because I never researched it. Hands up. Hands up.
So, I mean, what was it? Was there someone that came into your life that was kind of that attracted you to?
I knew some Jewish people who I was quite impressed with. I was also impressed with some of the principles. Let me say, there's things that I thought about Judaism before I started, and that maybe now I'm here living the dream as a Jew. I may not have exactly the same ideas, but at the time,
can I?
Yes,
I really
yes.
want to. I really
right.
want.
Can we try
and unpick that?
What
was your perception before that you then realised afterwards?
The perception was that I couldn't be a Jew. That was the biggest perception because I didn't see any black people who were Jewish at all.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. If I paid more attention to America, I would have seen much more examples. Yeah. But in Britain, I didn't see those examples. And for whatever reason.
I think it's fair to say that there are plenty of black Jews, but it's still a minority of the Jewish community are black. There's not...
You're right. But you know what? Black people pay attention to other black people. And I didn't know anything about black Judaism. And in Britain right now, I don't think there's a huge amount of knowledge about black Jews within the black community.
No.
And that's unusual. Black people know about other black people, but we don't know about black Jews. Maybe now, I mean, I'm on the black Facebook pages and now I'm proudly saying I'm a black Jew in various conversations on websites. But like I said, you take an interest in who you are.
Right.
And I didn't know anything. Once I went onto the American sites, everywhere. But I imagine there's a much bigger black Jewish community out there than there is over here. The thing that was, I'm going to say sexy, which I know maybe some of your podcast listeners won't like, but what's sexy is that the autonomy is very attractive to me. You get to study. You get to make up your mind. You can say, I think that's a load of rubbish. You can say,
whoa. To a rabbi.
This is the thing. I don't have to take somebody's perspective and say that is, you can, we all know, you can take three different texts, right? And you sit there, you study it, you research it, you get your old chumash out, you're going through all the lyrics, whatever, and you're going, well, here's one of the things. I remember when going into Jewish spaces and the lyric about, I am thankful that I'm not bought a slave. Can I tell you how powerful that is for me? I know it's powerful for most Jews because of the story of emancipation from Egypt. But for me as a descendant of a slave, do you know how powerful that is?
No, I can't.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you. That's what I'm here for. I'm telling you how powerful a statement that is. I am thankful that I am not born a slave. I'm thankful to my ancestors who allowed me to not be born a slave. It's very, very moving to me. Other things I like is I didn't realise before I started how much community there is. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you run into it and then sometimes you want to run back out of it. But I didn't know what this community was about. And I find it comforting. I find it annoying. I find it a little bit overwhelming because this community isn't just based in Britain. It's not just based at my shul. It's not just based in Europe. It's worldwide. You go somewhere and you mention you're Jewish and other people come up to you and they say, hello, I'm a Jew too. It's like an automatic little key to other people who have a little key as well. That just opens you up to other people and you've got that connection. I could go on. I could bore your listeners with, and they'll be sitting there going, what on earth are you going on about? I don't want to go to shul, don't want to meet anybody. And I'm just like buzzing about half of this stuff.
Right. I mean, and is it because you're not used to it yet? Do you know what I mean?
There's no doubt. I've heard of it. I've been told the zeal of the convert is something I've been said. We're just going to have to wait and see. I'm like 3-4 years in now.
Right.
I don't know, mate. You have to come and see me in 7 or 8 years, 10 years. If we know each other, have another podcast. Let's see. I might not go to shul. I might not, you know, I might not be doing anything. But at the moment, I'm just talking about where I'm at.
Right.
I can't talk about that. Can't say anything else. Yeah, I can't say anything else.
So can we get into the other kind of layers of stuff here? I'm aware that you don't identify as cisgendered. Is that correct?
I would say I push non-binary.
Non-binary. Okay, so I asked two questions. One, what does that mean by non-binary? I'm just asking that to be open. So what does that mean in terms of non-binary? And how does that interact with your Judaism?
It majorly interacts with my Judaism because everybody knows that Judaism is gendered based. One of the things I wasn't quite aware of when I started my conversion process, I remember, I'm going a little bit off track, but when I was doing my name for my conversion, I couldn't have the name I wanted because it was male. And I was advised that it wasn't a good idea and I should change it because I didn't realise how important it was gendered. But, you know, everything that you do within Judaism, if you're from an Orthodox perspective, is gendered. I would say I'm now part of Judaism where that it doesn't matter so much now because that's important to me. I don't fit into a typical... You can look at me right now and you wouldn't say, oh, what a lovely looking, typical woman. I was born female, but I think I have characteristics of both male and female for definite. I think I would think you would call me a butch looking woman, which is a woman who has definite characteristics or traits that are considered to be masculine.
So I've learnt not to make those assumptions. I've learnt. And I think that is fair to say I've learnt, you know, over the years because I've met people from a range of backgrounds.
Hayden, I'm really happy that you said that because it's really important that people know it's okay to be wrong at the beginning. it's okay to ask a question. Yeah. It's also, it's okay to listen to that answer and then to act on it. And that's fantastic. I judged you very, very quickly there. I judged you and I've been slapped down because you're saying the right things, you're doing the right things. Asking is always the best thing, because I tell you now, you ask five different people what's going on, five people will tell you five different answers. And you must, it's always about letting the other person lead you to who their identity is. They'll always lead you. And then you've just got to go with it. And right. You obviously have. And I prejudged you.
Well, look, it's one of the reasons why I wanted to launch this podcast, right? I just like hearing from different people. And you know, we're living in a world now that seems like we're getting increasingly divided and antagonistic.
Well, there's money behind the media, mate. You know, if you can get one stream of people to like one thing and you're going to show a program, yeah, set of programs that go down that line, you're going to do that. For all the faults that the BBC has, one thing it does, it shows a multitude of different types of right. viewpoints. And that right. we're losing that a little bit with the fact we've got the internet now. We can watch what we want and don't have to watch anything that we don't like anymore. It is making it a little bit more fractured in the world. There's no doubt.
Yeah, you're right.
That.
You're right.
There's no
yeah.
doubt about that.
Yeah, yeah. So, but hopefully I'm just doing the little thing I can. That's
of course, of course, of course.
So how do you get over that then? So it's in terms of this whole male-female paradigm, you know, that there is.
I ignore it and do what the hell I want. It's very simple. I tend to find that when I'm interacting with other people, they are either right for you or they're wrong for you. And they'll show you very quickly if they're wrong for you, and they'll show you very quickly whether they're right for you. There was a day when I was much, much younger where you... And I'm sure a lot of your podcast listeners have exactly the same experience where you wanted to be liked by everybody and to do what everybody else did. Now, I don't do that. You either like me or you don't. If you don't like me, I'll do my thing. I'll be polite. I'll say hello, but we won't go much further. I don't have the energy to spend on those kind of people. Right. And being honest, on the flip side, they shouldn't be spending time with me. If I'm somebody they don't get on with, let's just call the whole thing off, eh? Give each other a bit of space and we do our thing, you know. I've got some very good friends. You know, I've got that base for me. I'm very lucky that the Jewish community that I have, the friends that I have anyway, I mean, you know, I'm very lucky. I have a good base. I don't have to put up with people that I don't like.
Right, right. So that's interesting. So would you say that advocacy is not part of what you want to do?
I have to be honest, I think there's other people who are better than me about advocacy. I think there's a patient. I tell you why, because I, Hayden, probably would like to be a somebody who allows other people to speak their stories. I think that would be far more interesting for me. I think advocacy is something that you have to work on a very, very long-term vision to get where you want to. I think your networking skills, your communication skills have to be on point. You need to have a process that you work through. You have to make very good connections. And, you know, I'm just a little bod that runs around in the Jewish world. I don't have a really real connections. I make friends with the people I know. I'm not high level anything. I think when you want to do advocacy, I would want to do advocacy that changed something on a big thing, something like Keshet. I'm all so impressed by Keshet.
Right.
They're leading the way. I forgot her name now. I think her name is Dahlia. She is such an inspiration to the Jewish LGBT plus community. It's not what I would do. It's not what I would want to do. It's not. I mean, I hope my little bit of advocacy on this podcast would help.
Yeah, but that's it.
But that's as far as I would like to go. I wouldn't like to be in meetings and having to draw up plans and things like that. That's not what I would be like. I'm spontaneous. I met you 5 minutes ago. I'm on your podcast. That's that's the kind of way I roll. I just like to.
I think you're wrong. I think advocacy takes multiple forms, and you're doing a form of it. Why not?
Okay, extra brownie points for Hayden. I like that, but I still don't want to do anything. You know, the big stuff is not for me. I don't have the patience for the long haul, nitty gritty, incremental ways of going forward. Fair I don't enough. Have the patience. What I'm good at is being dropped into a situation and seeing if I can fly. Now, this podcast may come and bite me. This podcast may be a really good thing for me. I don't know. But that's, you know, that's how I rock and roll. Advocacy, you might be right. I might be doing advocacy with the people that I meet. Maybe some of the people that listen to this podcast. But if you're talking about things like Keshet, like, again, I'm going to brag about them because they're fantastic.
I'm hopefully getting them on as well.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's just not what I'm interested in. There's better people out there than me who can do all those sort of things.
Right. So what's your driving force? What do you kind of, do you think in terms of, I want a legacy and this is it, or do you be?
Yeah, I mean, do I want a legacy? I think everybody wants a legacy. The legacy would be that I was an okay person. and I was a bit of a laugh to be with and not a complete pain in the arse.
Why not be a pain in the arse? What's wrong with that?
Be a pain in the arse about something, but I haven't got anything to be, you know, I'm kind of in a good place. I'm Jewish, like I want to be. I have good friends, my family all still with me. I have a nephew, I have a sisters. I, you know, my life's kind of okay. I'm at Limud. I'm at my first Limud, and I'm on a podcast, you know. Days are good. I mean,
you're not on any podcast, you're on the Bagel podcast. I mean,
right, you're right, I'm not bigging it up as much as I should. The Bagel podcast is the only Jewish podcast that you should be listening to. Thank you very much, and endorsed by me.
I'm going to package that and I'll just
loop it.
It's been great. Thank you so much for your time,
Hayden. Thank you very much.
Thanks to Alfie Ferguson, and that is the last in our LGBT plus series of Bagel Bites. Tune in next time when we'll be discussing vegan stuff. A panel I recorded at the opening of the Jewish Vegan Centre, a discussion about the transition of power with the Jewish Volunteering Network, Talmud for Schmerls, Israel Talk, lots of different things coming up. Until next time, bye!